before Caitlin did the reading, she said, what happens if I go wrong? And she didn't go wrong. The reading in the order of service is Luke 11, 1 to 13, but I'm actually going to preach on 5 to 13, so what she read was correct. It's not that I'm overlooking the Lord's Prayer, it's just that in the past couple of years we've looked at the Lord's Prayer in some depth over several Sundays, so I'm going to skip and begin at verse 5. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you will help us to apply it to our minds and our hearts and our souls in the days of this coming week. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
When David's mum died, we had to go and help his dad clear her wardrobe. When Dad opened the doors of the two very substantial double wardrobes, double not only that way, but two rows that way, the wardrobes were packed with the highest quality clothes you can imagine. She had a lovely, lovely dress sense. And Dad looked at David and he said, there you are, son. You know your mother. She never had anything to wear. And it lightened a potentially very sad moment. Eve was the only woman in the world that said, I have nothing to wear, and meant it. So if the truth be known, it's not that the person staring into the wardrobe full of clothes has nothing to wear, but rather that they have nothing new to wear. And it's very important to take note in this story that the man calling on his friend at midnight for three loaves of bread had nothing to serve his guests. I think it's safe to assume that if Jesus said that someone has nothing to serve, that they aren't staring into a pantry full of food and thinking, I have nothing to serve. This is a legitimate need at a critical time for help. In Jesus' day, to have nothing to set before your guests was a disgrace. The laws of hospitality in the ancient Middle East were strict. And if a traveller arrived needing food and shelter, one was under an obligation to provide it. And the friend out in the street banging on the door knows that the friend in bed will understand that. And indeed, if the roles were reversed, he would do the same. What counts here is persistence. When our granddaughter Fionn asks to watch a cartoon of Tom and Jerry for the umpteenth time, and I have already said no, it doesn't matter how much she annoys me with her requests, the answer will remain no, because this doesn't qualify as a need, it qualifies as a want. Luke uses an interesting word. He says, yet because of the man's impudence, his boldness, the friend will rise and give him whatever he needs. And the Greek word for impudence means lack of sensitivity to what is proper. In other words, it wasn't proper thing for this guy to do, to go to his friend at midnight and persist that he get out of bed and lend him some bread. But when there is a legitimate need, proper goes out of the window. In today's modern culture, the church has been so heavily influenced by the world's standard of living that we can easily have our want and need categories seriously confused. What is a need? We must bear in mind that this passage is still in the same context as the Lord's Prayer, which is at the beginning of the chapter, where Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily bread, teaches us to pray for our daily need. So if you find that God has not answered your need in a heart of humility, it says keep asking, seeking, knocking, then wait and see. Sometimes we're praying the wrong prayer, or sometimes we're praying the right prayer at the wrong time. I remember when my mother was taken seriously ill not long before I was due to give birth to Naomi, our first child, and I prayed earnestly that she would be healed because I wanted her to be able to see Naomi. I prayed it daily, but it was a prayer that went unanswered. After nursing her night and day for about 8 weeks and watching her suffer, I then prayed that God would take her home. But that didn't appear to be answered either, because she lived in an unconscious state for another week, and I was confused, and I thought God wasn't listening. Of course he was listening, but my timing was not his timing. My prayer was born out of want rather than need. I didn't need my mother to stay alive, but I wanted her to stay alive. But then when my rather large tummy, 9 months pregnant, was proving to be a problem when it came to lifting her to care for her and turning her over in the bed, it became time for the district nurse to be called in, and plans were made for the district nurse to come the following day. And my mother slipped away that night, and the district nurse never had to come. And so God answered the prayer, but not in my timing, not what I wanted, but what I needed. Back in the 1960s, a pastor who was working in a Chinese Baptist church used to go each Saturday night down to the Baptist church and take the church secretary home in his car, since the church secretary didn't drive. One night it was raining heavily as he took him home, and in the rush he'd forgotten to check his petrol gauge. He dropped the man home and turned back onto the Pasadena freeway to return home. Suddenly the car stopped. It was completely out of petrol. The Pasadena Freeway is the oldest freeway in America. It was the first ever to be built. It was originally constructed to carry the old Model A Ford cars, not the fast modern cars of today. Well, certainly back in the 60s. And it's a very dangerous freeway to be driving on late at night in a storm, especially if you've just run out of petrol. And he rounded a blind bend as the engine stopped, and suddenly he realised that the next car round that blind bend would smash into him and do serious damage to his car and possibly to him. He jumped out of the car really quickly and he prayed hard and earnestly, "God, save me." Then he heard a horn honking. There was a chain link fence about 10 foot tall on the side of the freeway, and the other side of the chain link fence there was a small Volkswagen and a little man with a strange apparatus that looked like a fishing pole. And he hooked onto the end of the fishing pole a petrol can, and he cranked it up and he cranked it over the 10-foot fence till it came down the other side. And he said to the man, "Quick, fill up with petrol." And he took the can and he put the petrol into his car and he hooked it back on, and the man cranked it back to his side. And he, as he drove away, he turned to the guy and yelled, "Thanks a lot." And the man said, "Don't mention it. I do this every night." And as he drove away, two verses of scripture flashed through his mind. And remember, here he had a serious need. And he urgently prayed, probably just the once, because he didn't have a lot of time to think about it, I shouldn't think. But as he drove away, two verses of scripture came into his mind. "He should give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. And some have entertained angels unawares." Now here in the reading, we have the friend, who equates to God the Father in heaven asleep with all his children around him. And in the reading it says, if I come downstairs to give you the bread, you're going to wake all the children up. And the sort of house that Jesus had in mind here, all the family would sleep together side by side. So that if the father got up to answer the man's need, he would wake the whole family up by getting past all the children and whoever else happened to be there. The borrower is the one who would give a blessing to others. Now bear in mind, he's not coming and knocking on the friend's door, "So can I have 3 loaves of bread, because actually I just fancy some toast and Marmite." He had a legitimate need to answer, and he wanted to be a blessing to the person who had called in on him. And so the borrower equates to the one who would be a blessing to others. The man's persistence is the persistent and urgency of true prayer. in this reading it says, you know, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking, the persistence. The friend's reluctance equates to the apparent reluctance of God to answer Christian prayers. The final procurement of the loaves equates to God's eventual response to his children's prayers. The number of loaves received, not three, but as many as he needed, equates to God's blessing his prayerful children, not by merely supplying what they ask for, but what they need. All of us as Christians, I suspect, have struggled with the problem of unanswered prayer. In that, the fact that problem can be so discouraging to us that we start thinking, what's the use? Maybe we even quit praying. We hear stories of how God has answered prayer for others, but for us it doesn't seem to work. In the reading this morning, Jesus is responding to the request of an unknown disciple, and we don't know who it was, that said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he gives us a pattern for prayer, that we are to pray to the Father about his concerns, and we are to pray about the family's needs. Jesus continues his instruction by showing us how we should approach God in prayer. Now, we wouldn't dream of going to Buckingham Palace and knocking on the back door and going in and saying to the Queen, hello, Madge, how are you? There are certain ways in which you need to be coached to talk to the Queen, to be with the Queen, and there are certain social courtesies that are expected in the presence of the Queen. And some of us who worked for Girls Brigade many years ago were fortunate enough to meet the Queen Mother, who is one of our royal patrons. And she was delightful, and we were told what we had to do and what we mustn't do, and you don't speak to her until she speaks to you. And we all wore our uniform, and white gloves were a part of our uniform, so we all kept our white gloves on, knowing the Queen Mother would keep her gloves on. Only she didn't, she took them off. And she shook us all, and we all felt, you know, we wanted to take our own gloves off. So we were told how we had to behave, and what it was right to do and not to do. When we come before the King of Kings, we need some coaching on how to do it. Some may think that because God is sovereign and holy, perhaps we shouldn't bother him with our petty needs. Or perhaps we should come apologetically and timidly, afraid to let him know what's really on our minds. Maybe once we've let our needs be known, we should back off and not bother God again. Jesus shows us here how to approach God to receive the things we need as we seek to do his will. Approach God with bold persistence, knowing that as a loving Father, he will provide our spiritual food. In this context, Jesus tells a humorous parable to teach that we should approach God with boldness as his friend, persisting until we obtain what we need in order to minister to our friends. Then he applies the parable by telling us to keep on asking, seeking, knocking in prayer until we obtain the answer we need. And next, Jesus shifts the picture with a ludicrous illustration of a boy asking his father for a fish or an egg, and the father would not give his son a snake or a scorpion. Then Jesus applies the illustration by saying that if we, being evil, know how to give good things to our children, how much more shall a heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.